Hey friend, today we're going to see what the world calls waste, Jesus calls beautiful.
Isn't it good news, seeing the wretched redeemed, seeing sin's filth washed clean, seeing enslaved men free, we've been just...
And so today, I was doing what I try to get you to do, which is to love your Bible every day. So this morning, I'm in a tractor, I've got my Bible app open, and I'm listening to the McCheyenne reading plan, and just listening to that, it goes through the Bible, and when I got to Mark chapter 14, I'm hearing it in my headphones, and it just struck me as one of those passages that are just so amazing. So I thought, hey, let's walk through this passage as we think about what Jesus teaches us as a woman is going to do a wasteful thing by all measures, but Jesus is going to say, this is actually a beautiful thing. So let's pick up the story. Now, this is near the end of Jesus's ministry. In this chapter, he's going to have the Lord's Supper with his disciples. He's going to be betrayed. He's just moments away from the cross. So all this is happening, and we get this story. It says this in Mark 14, verse 3, and while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. Now just pause for a moment. Jesus is in the house of Simon the leper. This is a guy who's an outcast. He's a guy that, well, nobody's coming over for dinner. Like, nobody's visiting with this guy, but Jesus is at his house. And it just reminds us that Jesus, man, he loved the outcast. He loved the unlovables. He touched the untouchables. It's just who Jesus was. So here he's at this guy's house, a guy that he would have healed. And now he's having company with him. And it says this, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she broke the flask and poured it over his head. So Jesus, he's at this outcast guy's house, and this woman comes in, and Mark doesn't tell us who it is. Now, the story is in the other Gospels as well, so we know it's Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, but Mark doesn't tell us her name. And I think that's kind of unique to Mark, saying, hey, it doesn't matter her name, it matters what she just did. So here we have a woman, and she brings a alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard. Now for us, we're like, okay, like, is this like, you know, Abercrombie and Fitch, like Fierce cologne? Like, how many of you guys had Fierce cologne? I'll be honest, I sprayed it a few times on myself and bring back some memories. But is that what this is? Like some cologne? Well, this was a very expensive thing that she had. It was pure nard, and actually Mark tells us, hey, it was very costly. Like, just in case you don't know, now what scholars tell us is this would have been about 300 days worth of wage. So over a year's salary is wrapped up in this alabaster flask. So just think about that. So this would have been something that this woman probably got from maybe her father who passed away. This was probably part of it, her inheritance, her security. There's a lot going on with this alabaster flask. You can imagine this is like her whole 401k. This is her whole stock portfolio. This is her entire savings account and bank account, all wrapped up in this thing that she had that would have been security. It would have made for a good future. She could have passed this down to her kids. This is a big deal. And what does she do? She breaks it and pours it over Jesus's head. Like, can you imagine somebody going in, they're at the retirement age and they cash out their entire 401k portfolio and they just take it all to the church and just leave it? Like, that's kind of what this picture is. Like, it's all in. This girl's giving the absolute best thing that she has to Jesus. She's all in. And so, of course, this seems unreasonable. Verse 4, there were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was this ointment wasted like that? So they're saying, hey, it's wasteful just to pour it on Jesus' head. Like, this could have been used for all sorts of things. For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. In other words, this could have made a huge difference in a lot of people's lives. Why did she not use it well? Why did she use it wastefully? So see, to them, this was not used well. This was used wastefully. She has all this money. She has something that's very valuable. Why did she waste it on Jesus when it could have been used to help other people? Now Jesus comes to her rescue. Verse 6 says this, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me." I love that line. So I'm listening to it in the tractor this morning, and it just struck me. Here, everybody looking says, hey, look at this wasteful thing this woman just did. This is not a well thing. This is a wasteful thing. And Jesus comes to her rescue and says, this isn't a wasteful thing. This is a beautiful thing to me. So why is it beautiful to Jesus? Well, because this girl, she is giving her very best to Jesus. The most valuable thing that she probably owns, her most prized possession, her security, her future, her savings, all of it. She's like, I'm giving it to you. She breaks it and she pours it on his head. She is all in. See, she understands who's at the table. She understands this is not just some rabbi. This is not just some teacher. No, this is the Lord God. And when the Lord God is in your presence, what do? You worship with everything you have. See, everybody watching thinks this is unreasonable. Why would you waste everything on this guy? Well, it depends on who the guy is. Because if the guy is the Lord God, who is your Savior and King, then the only reasonable thing to do is to break the jar and pour on his head. The only reasonable thing to do is to give up everything to show how much you love him. See, Jesus says, this is a beautiful thing to me. And then he says, if you'll always have the poor with you and you can give to them whenever you want, you can do good, but you will not always have me. So she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. So Jesus says, hey, you're always going to, in other words, you can always help the poor. The poor are always going to be with you. Now, I remember when I had to graduate from Murray State, my last thing I had to do, we had to go to Washington, D.C., and we had this youth and nonprofit leadership conference that we went to. And there was actually a speaker there who criticized Jesus for saying, you will always have the poor with you. And the person made the point that we should be fighting poverty, not being okay with poverty, which Jesus seems to be implying, that he's okay with poverty. That is not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not saying, hey, don't worry about the poor because they're just always going to be poor. No, Jesus is one who actually sought to help the poor and restore the poor. And he's binding up those who are poor. He's restoring and helping those who are poor. But the reality is, there's always going to be the broken and poor among you. And Jesus says, hey, at any time and at any point, you can give and help the poor. That is a good thing. But right now, in this moment, this woman is the only one who understands what's really happening. That she understands that I'm about to die. And what she is doing is beautiful because she is anointing my body for burial. See, the disciples are missing the whole moment. They don't get what's happening. They don't get what's brewing, even though he's about to say, hey, go sacrifice the Passover lamb so that we can eat Passover meal, this Exodus meal. And then what we're going to see in this chapter, if you keep reading on, we see the betrayal, and we're going to see in the coming chapters the trial and the execution and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And through all of those moments, Jesus is going to walk through all of those events with a sweet smell of this aroma that this woman has put on his head. Jesus, while he's on the cross, he is going to smell the sweet perfume that this woman poured on his head. He is going to have her memory, what she did, this costly sacrifice that she, in love for him, now as he goes to the cross, in love for her and the world, this is going to be a beautiful thing that she did. See, the disciples, the people that are there, they say, hey, this woman is wasteful. Why is she giving everything to Jesus? There's so many people that need so much. And Jesus is saying, hey, she gets the moment. She knows that I'm about to give everything for the world. And she is doing something beautiful because it's done, notice what Jesus says, to me. It's beautiful because it's done to me. So here's what I want you to notice, that it's never extravagant what you do for Jesus. It's only reasonable. Like, you can give up everything for Jesus, and that's not unreasonable, that's reasonable. Because Jesus is worth it. He's the King, he's Lord, he's God. So one of the ways that we worship him is to give him our all. And of course, that doesn't just mean giving our valuable things in for the kingdom, but it means giving our very lives. Like, that we're all in. That if your life is an alabaster jar, you're not holding on to it, you're not keeping it around for safekeeping. No, instead, you're breaking your jar and saying, Jesus, I'm all in. All I have is yours because you are all I want. See, this girl is accused of being wasteful, but actually, she's just worshiping the Lord. And as she worships the Lord, it is a beautiful thing. And notice what Jesus says. This will be told forever in memory of her. And here we are, 2,000 years later, talking about this woman who broke a jar and poured it on Jesus's head. And what's cool about Mark's encounter, we don't know her name. We just know the memory of what she did. And I think that's a good thought for us. We don't do things for Jesus to get credit. We don't do things so that people will know our names. But instead, we do it so that the thing will be remembered, so that the sacrifice, so others would see and know, wow, King Jesus really is the King. Because look at how people respond and worship him. So I just want to ask on this Thursday, as your life as an alabaster jar, is it broken for Jesus? Are you all in? Are you living in such a way where people around you say, hey, you know, that seems a little wasteful. It seems like you're wasting your life on this religion stuff. It seems like you're wasting your life on this Jesus stuff. Well, what the world calls wasteful, what other believers call wasteful, Jesus says it's beautiful. So live a life that is beautiful to Jesus. And that means a life of sacrifice, a life of devotion, a life that worships him and remembers and proclaims that good thing he did for all of us as he died and rose again on the cross. Hey, friend, thanks for tuning in. I know the audio might not have been the best. I'm actually in a truck driving home from the field today. But hey, I wanted to bring this message to you because it struck me. And I don't know about you, but I want to live a life that might seem wasteful to the world, but that's beautiful to Jesus. Hey, well, I hope today has helped you love your Bible a little more, because when you love your Bible, you will love God, serve people, and live a life.